There is a way to have abundance. There is a way to have a life that is full. Now, that doesn't mean that every consequence of decisions made will be undone. However, the abundant life is a promise of the Lord, and he can give it to us. Let's stand and we'll pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, we come. This is your flock. It is not any man's flock. The sheep of God are God's sheep. The pasture of God is God's pasture. And so we pray, Lord, that we, the sheep of your hand, would be able to hear your voice clearly today, and not the voice of a man, but the voice of the great shepherd Jesus, who gave his life for us, whom we follow, whom we trust in, whom we have committed the very destiny of our souls to. Can we hear your voice today, Lord? We pray that your sovereign supernatural ability would intervene in the lives of your people. And what does that mean? We don't know, because you know what to do about every situation, and it's many times not what we think it would be. Help us, Lord, to accept your will in our lives and to stop imposing our own will or to stop imposing our will on somebody else. Help us to stay under your care. Help us to listen to you and follow you, whatever may come. In Jesus' name, amen. I am convinced that this sermon is for you, not because I did it or because I don't do sermons. God does them. He speaks through his word. The Lord God does. And when you listen to his word and when you allow his word to guide you and lead you, you'll have a life that's amazing. When we stop listening to him and we start listening to our own selves, the heart is sinful above all things, who can know it? Or we start listening to something outside of his word, we start paying consequences. We start having troubles. And then we wonder how we get where we're at. Let's read this together. This is dovetails into the message because it's about the shepherding of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. That's an amazing psalm that was put to music by David, and it is a precursor to the coming of the great shepherd. Notice a couple of things in here. Thy rod and thy staff. The rod of the shepherd and the staff of the shepherd were for correction and for guidance. He'd put the staff down to keep a sheep from going this way or that way, or to move them this way or that way. And the rod sometimes was used to give them a good whack to get their senses going. So you have to allow the Lord to shepherd over you. Now, take out your sermon notes and follow along. The abundant life is promised to us by the Lord Jesus himself. I came that they might have life to the full. Last week I talked to you about the blessed life, and this week I'm going to continue on that vein about the abundant life. What is it? What is this life of abundance that God is promising to us? What is this promise? Is it just a dream? Because most of us live life, and even though we believe in God and we try to follow him, our life is nothing but abundant, anything but abundant. It's difficult. It's confusing. Sometimes it's dark. Sometimes we don't know what's going on. And there seems to be a leanness to our life, or even a meanness that's going on. There's so much sin all around us and people around us at work, at home. Everything seems to be kind of against having a life full. Why is that? Jesus spoke of this in the teaching of the end of the age when he said, because of the increase of sin or darkness, the love of most will grow cold. So because sin is increasing and because darkness is increasing, It has a tendency of making us quite cynical and quite unhopeful about future and about God and blessing. Indeed, one lady told me that she wondered where God was in some of the things that had happened in her life. And I hope to answer some of that for her. Now, false shepherds impose themselves. Jesus begins to teach this issue of the abundant life in the context of John chapter 10. And in this teaching, he starts the teaching of the abundant life with one thing: false shepherds, false teachers, false guidance. When he taught about the end times events, one of the main characteristics of his teaching about the end times was that many false teachers and false prophets would come and they would deceive many. Since Jesus spoke that, many things have come into human history, politically, socially, religiously, that have really impacted negatively people in the world. Think of what communism did. Think of what Marxism did. Think of what Nazism did. Think of what evolutionary teaching has done. Think of all of these things that have gotten people away from God, away from the Bible, away from Jesus, away from the church. Even churches have abandoned the Word of God. Even churches have decided that the Word of God is too strict and they need to be more open and more accepting of sin and of incorrect behavior. So the main litmus test that the world seems to put out now about whether or not they should listen to God is, do you believe this or do you believe that? What do you think of this or that? It's not what I think and it's not what you think. It's what God says. I tell you the truth, says Jesus. Jesus said this many times in his earthly ministry. Truly, truly, I say to you, I'm speaking truth to you. When I speak, it's not colored with anything. It's plain truth. It's good for your soul. It's meat and potatoes. Maybe it's not all that spicy, but it's just plain truth. And the attack of the enemy, like Tim was saying, is always against the real basic things of life: marriage, family, devotion, loyalty, friendship, responsibility, personal responsibility. All of those things are under attack. Belief in God, belief in the Bible. What is life? What's right? What's wrong? What does the Word of God say about truth? Jesus said something in the Gospels that's really significant. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. It is found in a person, it is found in God, truth. When Pilate was going to crucify Jesus, he cynically said, what's truth? There's all these people saying this, and there's all these churches saying that, and this teacher says this, and that teacher says that, and this philosopher over here says this, and this one says that. So what's truth? There's always somebody coming up with some new idea. And Jesus said to him, everyone on the side of truth listens to me. Are you listening to him? I hope today as we go through this, you'll hear what he's saying. Because it doesn't matter if I convince you. I can't save anyone. I'm just a man. He's the shepherd. When you listen to him, your soul is safe. I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. So false shepherds come in, but they don't come in legitimately. False shepherds come in, and they come in, and they draw attention to themselves, and they try to get people to follow them, not him. When any teacher or any church or any organization gets you to follow anything but him and God, that they are false. They are destructive. They are thieves. They are robbers. And what do they thieve and what do they rob? They thieve the souls of men and women. They rob our destiny. They rob our eternal life. You need to listen to him. The Bible is very clear about the fact that false shepherds and false teachers would come. They've always been with God and God, with God's people, should I say, not with God, since the beginning, since the serpent in the Garden of Eden. And the tactic is always the same. Get them away from believing and listening to him. What did he tell Eve in the garden? First thing he said is, did God really say? Cast doubt on God and God's word and God's motives. Make people doubt the Bible and doubt God. If you can do that, if you can get people away from that, then you've got them. You've got them. You need to listen to him. I'm glad and excited that you're here, because this church, we try to hold to the word. We try to hold to the Bible. We try to not put human interpretation in front of the Bible. We try to interpret the Bible by the Bible. That's our goal here. This is a Bible church. I came back to Santa Fe because I knew, having grown up here, that there was a biblical illiteracy amongst the people. Illiteracy is one thing. There was big movements to get people to be more literate, and that's fine and dandy, but biblical illiteracy is dangerous to your soul. It doesn't matter if you can't read or write, as long as you know God. I knew a lady who couldn't read or write when I was in Southern California helping plant a church, and she didn't know how to read or write, so she would take a Bible to the pastor and ask the pastor, underline the salvation verses. I've told you this before. She would go up to people and say, read this, read this, read this. She couldn't read or write. And then she, do you want to give your life to Jesus? That's kind of cool. It doesn't matter if you can't read or write. What matters is, do you know the one who can save your soul? Are you illiterate? Are you literate spiritually? Now, true shepherd, the true shepherd is legitimate. The true shepherd. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep, of his sheep. Shepherds are under the great shepherd. Peter the apostle said, I, as a fellow under-shepherd with the rest of you elders, we're not asking people to follow us. You may have a favorite teacher or preacher on the radio or the TV or whatever, but they can't save you, okay? They may be good guides and help you to know him better, but he's the true shepherd. He's the one that enters through the gate, and he is the one who owns the sheep. He's the pastor. I'm a sub-pastor, that's all. I can save no one. I can pay for no one's sin. I can't even pay for my own sin. I had to come to the shepherd and see that he died on the cross for me, and I still depend on that now. If I thought that I had to trust in my own righteousness, I would not stand behind this pulpit, because I have none. I know this. My righteousness is his and his alone, and so is yours if you know the scriptures. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. Who is our pastor? Who is our real pastor? Jesus. He's the pastor. Who's my pastor? What church do I go to? I go to Jesus' church. That's the church I go to. You may go to an earthly organization on earth, a local church led by hopefully a man who follows God and tries to teach his word, but he's not the pastor. Jesus is, right? The true shepherd calls us. He calls us. You heard Shirley talking about a call, but the call that he's speaking of here is deeper. The watchman opens the gate for him, the true shepherd. The sheep listen to his voice. He, the shepherd, calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Do you, when you listen to the Word of God, do you hear God speaking? I do. I don't know any other book on earth, and there's lots and lots of books. Solomon said, of the writing of books, there is no end. Everybody tries to get a bestseller because they get rich off of it. But to read what God says, it's very different than what man says. When you hear him speaking, it's different. He calls you. Let me give you the metaphor, and it's not a metaphor. For them, it was reality. The Jewish people were a shepherd-based people. We're so far removed from the agricultural society that we don't even relate to this whole metaphor of sheep and shepherd, because we don't even live close to even a goat shed, much less. I mean, Shirley, she talked about Delcon. It's in Arizona, and the Navajo people took on shepherding after the Americans came in. The shepherding thing is something that we don't really relate to that well, but listen to this. When a shepherd, and they all had flocks of sheep in Israel, they would gather their sheep at night together and put them in one common sheep fold. And it was a protected area with maybe a mountainside or a cliff behind it with some fencing, probably thorn bushes around, and kept the sheep in there. And then one of the guys that would rotate this duty, a watchman, they would appoint this guy to watch the whole group of sheep, which consisted of many different flocks. And that watchman would have duty to protect them that night. Because sheep, if you leave them alone, they'll get killed. Because dogs will come. I mean, they need care, constant care. As a matter of fact, the existence of sheep on earth is one of the great evidences for God and for humans being in the beginning with creation, not that animals lived billions of years before us and then we came or we evolved from them, but that we cared for animals since the get-go, since Genesis. Sheep could not exist without human oversight. Abel was a shepherd. Remember Cain and Abel? Abel was a shepherd. The watchman opens a gate for him. The watchman was a man on duty. They rotate the duty, and here comes the shepherds in the morning, and they would call out their flock from that bigger flock, and he would start calling them by name because shepherds, just like we do, they name their animals. They name them, and the animal knew them. Both of my boys own dogs, right? And I told them, okay, you can have a dog if you do the patrol, okay? You know what the patrol is, right? When you get a poopy, you got to do poop patrol. But anyway, a puppy. When you get a puppy. So anyway, these animals really relate to them and them first. It's interesting. And when you know your owner, you are glad to see them, you're joyful to see them, and you go to them, right? I mean, it's really interesting when Isaiah drives up, the dog, if he's at home, he perks up his ears and he runs to the door. The sheep know the shepherd. He calls the sheep and they come out by name, he calls them, and he leads them out. The true shepherd calls us. And I have one question for you. Have you heard the call of the Savior, Jesus Christ? Not the call of a church, not the call of some human organization or political party or social thing. Have you heard the call of God in your life? And have you responded to that call by leading, going and following his lead and following him out, following him, God, not some man, not some church, but God. He calls you, and the question is, have you heard the call, and have you responded to the call? Now, the true shepherd leads us. When he has brought out all of his own sheep, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. So they follow him. When I say that he is our shepherd, I'm not kidding at all. He is our shepherd. He is our Savior. He owns us. We follow him. We know his voice. Write down this on the side of that note in your sermon notes. And if you're not in the habit of taking sermon notes, like if you're doing it, I mean, let your wife do it, you know, please get away from that. Get your own sermon notes and fill them out. They're for your benefit, no one else. Write down 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, and I'll read it to you. 2 Timothy 2, 19. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this inscription, the Lord knoweth those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And the iniquity being spoken of here is the iniquity of not listening to him and his teaching, him and his voice. When churches or human organizations or human religions start teaching something that is anti-Christ, anti-biblical, you and I need to depart from that. We need to hold to him, his teaching, above all things. Anything that comes in contradiction to his teaching needs to be discarded by his people. We hear his voice. We're not listening to the voice of man-made religions, man-made traditions, man-made interpretations. Jesus had to confront the leadership of the day, of his day, when he came to earth and he saw the leadership of Israel. And what were they doing? He told them, your interpretations and your traditions have so nullified the word of God, nobody can see it. He goes, it became so on top of it that you couldn't even see the Bible anymore. So you have to dust all of the human stuff off of it, off of it, off of it, and listen to it and it alone, because it is powerful. Hebrews said that the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. It'll divide to your soul and the marrow, your spirit and your soul. It goes down deep inside of you if you let it. But if you listen to man's teaching, it's always compromising. It's always kind of slippery slope stuff. It's always either cotton candy or popularity or whatever. When you listen to the word of God, it stands starkly against all of the teachings of man, all of the traditions of man and man's religion and women's religion for that matter too. Listen to him and him alone. Depart from iniquity. Let him lead you. Don't follow anyone else. Follow him. Now, the true sheep follow the shepherd. If you're from God, if you are his sheep, you'll follow him. He goes out and he calls them and they follow him. But if you don't know him, you won't follow him. If you depart from Jesus Christ and God, it's not because of the church. It's not because of somebody in the church, because you don't know him. I follow Jesus Christ, and I follow him and him alone, and I've been doing it since I was 19. I'd heard about him before that, but when I first responded to his call, it was at 19. I have not stopped following since. I don't wait around for my friends to follow. I don't wait around for my family to follow. I don't wait around for the church to follow. I follow him. Peter the Apostle said this in John 6:66. Jesus, it says, and they left him. This is too hard of a teaching, said the disciples, and they left him. Jesus, turning to the 12, he says, do you want to leave too? Peter says, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And Jesus' response was, oh yeah, that makes me feel good. His response was, have I not chosen you? And yet one of you is still a devil. He knew that one of them wasn't really one of his sheep. Are you following him or are you following man? You need to follow him. The true sheep follow the shepherd. They'll never follow a stranger. Well, what's a stranger? A stranger is a false teacher. A stranger is a false prophet. A stranger is anyone, man or woman or angel, says the Apostle Paul in Galatians. If an angel comes and teaches another thing, he should be cursed. We need to follow him and him alone. We're not following a church, a denomination, somebody's pet teaching. We're following Jesus. We may not understand everything that's going on in what he's doing in the world, but we're following him. They will never follow a stranger. In fact, they'll run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Have you ever visited something and you're like, oh, this sounds really weird? And you just know in your heart that something's wrong. Something's not right. They're not really teaching about Jesus and God, so you know you got to get out of there. Or you start reading a book or watching a movie or listening to a song. Do you do that with the stuff you listen to or read or let yourself be entertained by? Do you see the message behind it? I do. It's like, wow, these guys are teaching, you know, one world government, or these guys are teaching, you know, false prophecy, or these guys are teaching anti-Christian values or anti-biblical lifestyles. That's what they're teaching through their movie, through their play, through their poem, through their music, through their book. If you don't know how to do that, you need to start learning how. Some books, my wife picked up a book and it had a Christian title on it. I don't remember the name of it. She said, I started reading it, and it was advocating all kinds of weird stuff, so she threw it in the trash can. It said Christian on it, but it wasn't Christian. They'll never follow a stranger. They'll run away from him or her or it because they don't recognize a stranger's voice. If you're from God, you follow the shepherd. If you're not from God, anytime something new or somebody new comes, oh yeah, let's listen to this. Oh yeah, let's listen to that. It's like you look at cattle or sheep or any shepherding situation, and they're always sticking their head outside of the fence to try to get that grass over there. The grass is not greener on the other side. I follow my shepherd. He leadeth me beside green pastures, makes me lay down beside still waters. His grass is good. Eat his grass, okay? What's his grass? It's his teaching. It's what he tells us in his word is the right way to look at things. Don't even trust to your own heart. I emphasized this to you last week. The heart is deceitful above all things, said Jeremiah the prophet. Who can know it? So you can't even trust to your own opinions. You need to trust this and this alone. You say, well, yeah, but I don't understand this or that. Don't worry. As you read, as you study, as you compare scripture with scripture, it begins to clarify in your mind and in your heart. And I've shared with you the story of my earthly father, Alberto. When he became a Christian, he would write me these letters. I was in the army. And he would ask me questions about why does the Bible say this? Why does it say that? What does this mean? What does that mean? And eventually those letters stopped coming. Do you know why? Him and my mother spent every day about 2 hours reading together. And they began to see that the scriptures talk about each other in the scriptures, and they didn't need anyone to tell them anymore. Jesus said that. Jesus said, I will send you a counselor. He will lead you into all truth. He'll tell you if you're really willing to listen. He'll show you. You'll recognize the stranger's voice, the wrong teaching, the wrong philosophy, the wrong political agenda, the wrong social thing. You'll recognize it. That's not from God. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says this about marriage, about family, about right, about wrong. Oh, yeah, but the whole culture says this. Yeah, the culture advocates all kinds of stuff. Anything that is against the Bible and God. You want to listen to them or you want to listen to him? Do you know what Jesus said about this? Wide is the road that leads to destruction. Many are those who go on it, because it's a freeway. Oh, everybody's here. Wow. Look, that guy's here. Oh, yeah, I know that guy. Everybody's going down this big, broad road. At the end of it is a big cliff. And Jesus said, but narrow is the way to life, and few are those who find it. If you're following Jesus for the crowd's sake, you're following for the wrong reason. Oh, yeah, there's a lot of people over here. There's a lot of people in atheism. There's a lot of people in Islam. There's a lot of people in all kinds of stuff. Are you going to follow the crowd or are you going to follow him? The narrow path, the path that is least trodden, is the path that leads to God. When I go hiking, I love to go off trail. I love to go where nobody else goes, because you see things and you experience things that no one else does. Follow him, not the stranger. True sheep understand the shepherd. If you're really from him, you'll understand him. Jesus used this figure of speech, but look what it says. They didn't understand what he was telling them. You may be sitting here wondering, I wonder when he's going to stop. I got to go get my Father's Day present or whatever. Your Father's Day present is to be in the house of the Father. That's the present. If you want to change the things of life and your family and the history of your family, start doing the things that are from God. Let me read you something. God speaking here in Ezekiel chapter 34. You might write this down. I will feed them in good pasture. Upon high mountains of Israel, I will make their fold. They will lie down in good pasture, in the fat pasture, and they will feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock. I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost and bring again that which was driven away and bind up that which is broken and strengthen the sick and the weak. I'll destroy the fat and the strong and feed them with judgment. I will slay my flock. They will be no more have to be prey or scattered in the mountains. I will judge between the cattle and the sheep and the sheep and the goats, and I will set up one shepherd over them. He will feed them, my servant David, he will feed them, he shall be their shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Who's our shepherd? Who's our pastor? Jesus is our pastor. Jesus is our shepherd. We're following him, not Jimmy Sandoval, not Charles Stanley, not Chuck Smith, or not, you know, pick your favorite guy, okay? They don't save you. He does. Jesus does. So what does Jesus do? Our shepherd is the entryway to life. Jesus clarifies it even further. Therefore, Jesus said again, John is writing this down. He's an older man, and he's going back, and he's remembering this teaching when he was here on earth, when Jesus was on earth, and he's speaking to his own people, Israel, the Jewish people, and he's telling them, they don't understand what he's saying, and he says, I tell you the truth. There he is again. Truly, truly, I say to you, I'm not lying to you. I'm God. I don't lie. I don't need to lie. I don't need to obscure my motives. I'm telling you plain truth. I am the gate for the sheep. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the one. I'm the one that you've got to follow. This is a statement of exclusivity. There is no other shepherd. There is no other faith. There's only one true faith, one true Savior. That's it. You follow him and him alone. And if anything comes in contrast or contradiction to him and the teachings of the Lord Jesus, Paul the Apostle says in Galatians, if a man or an angel comes from heaven and tells you something else, let them be anathema, that is to be cursed and cut off from God. Because anyone who tries to get you away from God is a liar and a thief. Therefore, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All whoever came before me, and you can infer this, all who come after me claiming to be the Messiah, he taught this in Matthew 24, that many will come in my name claiming to be the Messiah, claiming to be God, claiming to be a new messenger. Because, but I'm the messenger, I'm the Savior. All who came before me were thieves and robbers. What do they thieve? They thieve your soul. What do they rob? They rob your security. They rob your destiny. But the sheep didn't listen to them. If you're truly from God, you won't listen to false teaching. You won't heed it because it sounds weird. It feels weird. It just feels weird to listen to something that is anti-Christian, anti-God, anti-Bible. And if you like listening to something that is anti-Christian, anti-God, anti-Bible, then you're the problem. Maybe you're not even his at all. And maybe you need to examine yourself and see if you're really real with God and ask yourself, God, why am I listening to all this other stuff and not just you? Do you love the Bible or do you subscribe to the philosophy of the world that says it's a book written by men? Really? Did you know that the Bible says in its own writings that it, the Bible, was written by God? Did you know that that's what it says? And that every word inside of God's word is true? And let every man be found to be a liar and let God found to be true? The Bible supports its own self. It never contradicts itself. I know what's going to happen. Somebody's going to go Google and say, well, look at this contradiction. Look at that one. If you're willing to listen to anything outside of that, that's on you, man. I'm going to listen to the word. And if you try to tell me that I need to listen to something else, then I don't know who you are. Our shepherd feeds us. Jesus, speaking of the end of the world, one time said that many will come unto me and they will knock on the door and they will say, Lord, let us in. And he will say, I don't know you. Who are you? Well, we did this and we did that. I don't know you. When you lived on earth, you didn't pay attention to me or my word. Here it is again. He feeds us. I am the gate. He says it again, just like he said it in this verse right before. I am the gate. He says it again. I am the gate. I'm not just the true shepherd. I'm also the gate. You ought to study some of the stuff about DNA and RNA. Did you guys ever seen this study? Did you know that a virus, in order for a virus to get into you, it has to trick your RNA and DNA to get into your cellular structure so that you get infected? Did you know that? That a false teaching and a false prophet will do that. They'll come in and they'll try to fool the system so that they can infect your body. Do you know what AIDS is? AIDS is a virus that tricked your immune system that it's good for you. Many viruses and many infections are that's what they are. So if in the physical realm, God shows us all of these examples in the spiritual realm as well. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in, he will go out and find pasture. So you go in through Jesus, who is God in the flesh. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. He is the answer. The abundant life resides in him. It's a relationship to him. It is not focusing on all the bad stuff happening all around me. When you do that, you lose focus. Like Peter, you get off of the boat, you start walking on the water, the waves get you scared, the wind gets you scared, the storm gets you scared, you start to sink. What did it say? He sank beneath the waves and he cried out, Lord, save me. And the Lord said, why did you doubt? What was Peter doubting? He was losing focus on the Savior who was standing above the storm. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He'll come in, he'll go out, he'll find pasture. Have you done that? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leads me beside the good shepherd, the good pasture, and makes me lie down beside still water. He feeds us. He's the one that nurtures us. He does it. Our shepherd offers us abundant life. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. There it is, repeated again. False teachers, false prophets, false religion, false philosophy. What does it do? It weakens you. It weakens your spiritual immune system. It infects you. And what does it do? It gets you away from God. Any teaching, any advocation through film, through book, through song, through whatever, through person, if it is trying to get you away from God and God's people and God and God's word, then it must be discarded by you. Our body knows how to do that. When it sees something that is an infectious agent inside of you, it usually attacks it. Your white blood cells go after the germs right away. And so what is biology done? Some of the germs have gotten smart and they try to fool the white blood cell so that it doesn't attack it so that it can infect your body. You and I spiritually need to be more savvy. Wake up. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Don't let someone or something introduce something else into you. You've got to guard your mind better. You've got to guard your eyes better. You've got to guard your ears better. You've got to start listening to him and him alone. Get away from it all. Unplug for a while. Why don't you? Unplug. Get away. Have a burning bush experience with God. Go up in the mountains, fast and pray and ask God to show you who you are and what you are, and you'll be amazed. It'll scare you. You're full of sin, and he's your Savior, and he will deal with you if you let him, unless you're scared to. Are you afraid to let yourself be looked at by God? Don't be. He doesn't hate you. He's your friend. He's your Savior. I have come. Why did God come? To condemn us, to judge us, to make us feel bad, to send us to hell? No, I have come. God so loved the world, he sent his Son. I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. So life is based on a relationship with the Savior. It is based on that, not upon something that you got to do. I got to do this, I got to do that, and I'll have life. If I do this, I'll be better, right? No. If you get into a relationship with your God, with your Savior, your life will have an abundance because it flows from him, the author of life. Whoever believes in me, according to the scripture, said Jesus, out of his inmost being will flow out rivers of water, rivers of water. Where's it coming from? From an endless reserve, God, who is an endless being. He will give you the abundant life. If you keep on looking outside of God, you'll find nothing but desert and dryness and horrible drought spiritually in every other way too. But if you stay with him, it's like planting yourself by the water. Our shepherd offers us the abundant life. Do you have that relationship with him? It's not by coming to Grace Church or any ministry at all. It's by having a relationship with him. That's what gives you the abundant life. Our shepherd gives his life for us. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. King David, when he was a shepherd boy, it says this. When Goliath the giant came against Israel and everybody ran away, King David, who wasn't king yet, he was just a boy. He came to bring food to his grown brother soldiers, and everybody was scared of the giant. So he says, I'll go beat him up. And so Saul, the king, and his attendants tried to put armor on him, and it didn't fit him because he was young. And he says, I don't need this. I was a shepherd of my father's physical flock on earth up on the mountainsides of Israel. And when a bear would come, I would grab it, and I would strike it and kill it. And when a lion would come, I would grab it by the beard, and I would strike it and take the lamb out of its mouth. That's what a true shepherd does. He doesn't protect the sheep. He doesn't give his life for the sheep. But the good shepherd, capital T, good shepherd, the good shepherd, the only true shepherd, God, Jesus, he laid his life down for us. Charles Stanley can't save you. Chuck Smith can't save you. John Piper can't save you. Jimmy Sandoval can't save you. Any human pastor cannot save you, but Jesus, the real good shepherd, can. And he did. He laid down his life for you. He gave his life in sacrifice to pay for your sins for you. That's what he does. Our shepherd will not abandon us. Jesus said this, I will never leave you. And what? I will never forsake you. He is the good shepherd. He doesn't abandon us. Every once in a while, you would have to hire a hired hand shepherd to take care of the sheep. Maybe somebody died, or he had to go fight Goliath the giant, something like that, right? So you would hire a guy to take care of the sheep. Well, guess what? It doesn't come with a job description to die for somebody else's sheep. You won't do it. David would, because they were his father's sheep. But the hired hand doesn't do it. That's why you need to follow him, not me. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. I don't own you. You're not my sheep. You're his. So when he, the hired hand, sees the wolf coming, what does he do? He abandons the sheep and runs away. So the hired hand, he says, nope, not. It's not in my pay grade. Later for you. Bye. And you know what a wolf does when he comes in amongst a flock of sheep? You got to do some study on this. They don't just kill one sheep and take it for food. They kill the whole flock. That's what the devil wants to do with the people of God. He wants to kill the whole flock. Why do you think it's happening in history today, in human history today? There is an ongoing united front to go after God and God's people. It's been happening all over the world. And we think, oh, we're okay, we're in America. It's coming. It's coming here too. It's already here. The infection is here. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he's a hired hand. He doesn't care for the sheep. But our good shepherd, he doesn't abandon us. The abundant life is in a relationship. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. My sheep know me. How do you have the abundant life in the face of all of the craziness of the world, in the face of the disappointments of the world and my own sins and failure too? How can I still have abundance in my life? By having a relationship with my God. That's how. The abundant life is there. You can't let anyone steal that from you. Jesus said, don't fear man. He can only kill your body. Fear the one that can throw your body and your soul in hell. That would be God. Have a healthy fear for God and follow him. You'll be safe even if you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Let us stand. And in honor of Father's Day, we'll read this. Because our Father sent to us his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God in the flesh. And he gave his life for us. This sermon is for you. I've got one question for you. When we went through that chapter, chapter 10, I want you to take it home and read the whole chapter without any commentary. Just read it through, John chapter 10. You're going to hear Jesus speaking. He's the shepherd. You're going to hear his voice if you're from him. If not, you won't, or you won't do it. Get the Bible, open to John chapter 10, and read it. You'll hear the good shepherd speaking to you. Now let's read this prayer that the shepherd gave to us when the disciples said they would watch him going and pray, go and pray, go and pray every day. He'd get up in the morning, early in the morning, before any of them, they're all snoring away. Where's Jesus? They'd wake up, oh, I need some coffee. Hey, where's Jesus? He's out there somewhere. And finally it dawned on them, man, this guy prays a lot. Then they said, hey, maybe you could teach us how to pray. Okay, here's a prayer for you. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you, Father in heaven. Happy Father's Day. And like Shirley said, our Navajo sister, when our life is right, you're happy. John the Apostle said, when I hear that my children are walking with him, I'm happy. That's what makes you happy. When your children walk with you, when they listen to you, when they depart from iniquity and hold to you and you alone. For those who are here that may not have responded to the call of the pastor, the call of the Savior, the call of the one who gave his life for you. Behold, I was dead. I am alive forevermore. I hold the keys of death and Hades in my hand. If you have not responded to him, this is the time. Lord Jesus, I give my life to you. Please be my pastor. I'm looking for a church. I'm not looking for a church. I'm looking for a pastor. I'm looking for you. Please come into my life. Please be in me. Please shepherd me. Please lead me beside the still waters and the green pastures. Please, Lord, be my pastor. I give my soul to you. I place myself under your rod and under your staff. I want to follow you because you're the one that gave your life for me. Help me, Lord, to stop running around and commit myself to you, the shepherd, the pastor, the Father, my Father in heaven. Amen.